You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
It is October 14th. 50 years ago today, a young senator announced the creation of the Peace Corps in Michigan. It was 2 o'clock in the morning when then-Senator John F. Kennedy arrived at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He was probably thinking only of crawling into bed, but there were 10,000 students waiting for him, hoping he would speak. And so he did, an impromptu speech from the marble steps of the student union.
How many of you who are going to be doctors are willing to spend your days in Ghana, technicians or engineers? How many of you are willing to work in the Foreign Service and spend your lives traveling around the world?
It was the height of the Cold War. Many thought the U.S. could do more to beef up its image internationally, inspire more goodwill for Americans. Senator Brian McMahon of Connecticut talked in 1952 about an army of young people who could be missionaries of democracy. And Senator Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota proposed a bill to create the Peace Corps a few years later. It failed. Critics claimed the Corps would become a refuge for draft dodgers. The project needed a young, popular, idealistic champion. And that's what they got when JFK was sworn into office as president.
The torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed, and to which we are committed today, at home and around the world.
Kennedy thought strong, generous volunteers from the states would help counteract the stereotype of the ugly American. The Peace Corps was created by executive order in March of 1961. That fall, the Kennedys held a ceremony in the Rose Garden for the volunteers who were preparing to leave for Ghana and Tanzania. 5 years later, there were too many volunteers to squeeze into the Rose Garden. 15,000 of them were in the field, including Leonard Robertson.
Landing in India in 1964, December 4th was like landing on the other side of the moon. And so I learned how to be creative and how to be visionary within a very tough environment.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You'll excuse the fact that I'm out of breath, but about 10 or 15 minutes ago, a tragic thing, from all indications at this point, has happened in the city of Dallas. Let me quote to you this. President Kennedy and Governor John Connally have been cut down by assassins' bullets in downtown Dallas.
JFK was assassinated. Vietnam scarred the psyches of young Americans, and Watergate soured them on anything connected with Washington. The river of volunteers became a creek, and the Peace Corps was lumped underneath the umbrella of a bureaucratic organization called ACTION. The idealism of the 1960s had given way to the complacency of the 1970s, and then came the 1980s. The me generation, the decade of Wall Street, the baseball strike, the personal computer, and the end of the Cold War.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
By 1982, the Peace Corps was down to its lowest numbers almost since its creation. But it may have been the success of its former volunteers that ultimately kept the Peace Corps from fading into obscurity. During the 1970s, the first former Peace Corps volunteers were elected to Congress. Paul Tsongas of Massachusetts and Christopher Dodd of Connecticut.
Just, I can't begin to tell you over the years. I mean, I always attribute my family as having the greatest influence on what I ended up doing or how I do things. But I quickly would add the Peace Corps afterwards. It was a life-altering experience. There's no other way to describe it.
And in 1992, the first group of volunteers departed for the former Soviet Union. The Peace Corps had outlasted the superpower it was designed to counteract. Jimmy Carter made the group autonomous, and most presidents since then have increased funding for the Corps.
We needed the Peace Corps then, and we need the Peace Corps today.
The future of our nation depends on the soldier at Fort Carson, but it also depends on the teacher in East L.A., the Peace Corps volunteer in Africa.
The patriotic fervor that followed September 11th boosted recruitment as well.
Ask it to join a new effort to encourage development and education and opportunity in the Islamic world.
To date, almost 200,000 Americans have served in the Peace Corps in 139 countries. And there are stories of miraculous change and new understanding. The young shoeshine boy in South America who got a college education in the U.S. with the help of Peace Corps workers and went on to become the president of Peru. The child in the Dominican Republic who learned English from volunteers and led his country as president until 2004. The Peace Corps helping victims of the tsunami in Thailand and Sri Lanka. Volunteers wading through the high waters of Katrina to help the people of New Orleans.
To actually drive through it, to see the survivors going through their house, trying to salvage memorabilia that just is priceless and irreplaceable. That's when you see why you're here.
The Peace Corps has done amazing work, no question. But the stereotype of the ugly American is as strong as ever. We may no longer have a Cold War, but the need for better PR is probably greater now than when the Peace Corps was born 50 years ago on the steps of the student union in Ann Arbor.
The fact that you're willing to do this for our country and in the larger sense, as the name suggests, for the cause of peace and understanding, I think should make all Americans proud and make them all appreciative.
Happy birthday, Peace Corps.
And of course, the great irony is that in 2010, the U.S. projects its nation building with the Pentagon, with the soldiers. It's Robert Gates who's in charge of rebuilding the civilian infrastructure in Afghanistan, not the places and institutions like the Peace Corps.
And yet the flooding in Pakistan showed us, I think, pretty clearly that it's actually the kind of work that the Peace Corps does that perhaps makes the United States safer and builds bridges and builds metaphorical bridges in other countries better than perhaps our military exercises.
Although the Pentagon's big in Pakistan, too. It's interesting. We've changed a lot in America, but the Peace Corps is still alive and well.
It is. Actually doing better than perhaps ever. And we asked our listeners. We bet that we had a few Peace Corps volunteers among our listeners, and we were right. Jessica from New York City writes to us, "I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Niger, West Africa, from 2002 to 2005 in a rural village 2 days away from the capital. I was able to go back and visit this summer. The village no longer has a volunteer, and the chief verbalized what I'd always sort of had in the back of my mind. He said, you know, I'm the head of the village, and usually if you want something done to the government, the head uses his influence to make things happen. But we just get ignored now. When the Peace Corps was here, they were more receptive." Give us your thoughts at 877-8MYTAKE or at thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.